So let's take our Bibles this evening and let's go to the Gospel according to Luke, okay? Gospel according to Luke this evening. Gospel according to Luke, all right? And we'll be in Luke chapter, let's see here, chapter number 22. That's where we'll be. Luke 22, all right? Okay, Luke 22. Now we have been looking at, if you remember, we've been looking at this topic of study of what Christians ought to know, what every believer ought to know. We've seen many different things, but we've been stuck on this one for the past few weeks, and it's on this subject. Every believer ought to be a witness. Every single Christian, every born-again believer needs to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've considered this truth and considered this subject, we've answered a few questions about being a witness, and we've answered this question. We've answered, why should I be a witness? And we considered a few things. We considered the command of Scripture, how it says in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We have seen in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. We've looked at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look, there's a simple command of Scripture for all of us that know Jesus as Savior to go forth with the gospel and tell to every creature. We've been commanded, and we just need to simply obey. So, why should we witness? We've been commanded. Why else should we witness? Because people are dying. I believe there's a statistic that once has said that there's nearly two people die every single second. Every single second, two people die. But the majority of those people that pass away, they pass away without the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says this, in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. And so when you think that the majority of the people that are passing away, they passed away without the knowledge of Christ, that puts new light, at least for me, on that portion of Scripture in Proverbs 27, verse 20, because hail and destruction are never full. That's why we should witness. Because you don't know the next person that you talk to or come in contact with knows Christ or not, and we need to simply give the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we looked at this. We've looked at how can I be a witness? Well, we looked at one of our main ways we can be a witness is just simply giving our testimony. Given our testimony. And we looked at Paul, how he was being marched up to the palace, and he wanted to speak to his brethren, his countrymen, one more time about what did he want to say. The last thing he thought, he didn't know if he was going to live past this, but one of the last things he could ever say to his brethren, his countrymen, Israel, what he wanted to tell them. We turned on the steps that day and gave them his personal testimony of how he's just like them, zealous for the law, how he's just like them, persecuting the people of this way, meaning the Christians. He was just like them until he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and Jesus changed his life forever. And he gave them his personal testimony how he came to faith in Christ. Listen, that's exactly how we can be a witness too. Tell someone our testimony because somebody needs to hear it. How else can we be a witness? Well, through gospel tracts, all right? On these tracts we have in our lobby is a simple plan of salvation laid clearly out on that tract. And I love giving these things out because they'll go in places that you and I cannot go. They'll go into homes that you and I will never be able to go into. And I believe they're a great tool when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this promise from Scripture concerning the Word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 10 through 11. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So please understand something this evening. Every time you give out God's word, every time you give out the gospel tract, it's going to have an accomplishment for God, okay? It's going to do something for the Lord. He's going to send it where he wants it to go and for a purpose, and it will never return void. So, as we continue on this subject of witnessing, let's look a little closer at this, because in the very beginning of this little subject we're looking at this evening, I asked some questions of what is one of the things that stop people from being the witness they ought to be. And a lot of people said this, fear. I don't tell people about Jesus because, well, I'm scared to. I have a little hesitancy and anxiety about telling someone my testimony or about telling someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm afraid. So let's look at that this evening of fear when it comes to witnessing. We'll find our text in Luke chapter 22, all right? Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. And the Bible says this, "Then took they him," this is him meaning Jesus, all right? "Then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off." I fear that many believers are simply following afar off from the Lord Jesus Christ instead of following hot on his heels, where truly every believer needs to be. All right, that's not the message. But look at verse 55. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he," that's Peter, "denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, But thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." So as we look at this portion of Scripture here, we find Peter. Peter, a man who's a man's man. All right, that's how I consider him anyway. But a man who is a rough fisherman. He's a Galilean. He is a man who is not afraid to speak his mind. You don't have to wonder what he's thinking, all right? But he's a man who seemed to be so brave, so courageous, that really just moments before, well, we just read the Scripture here, just moments before, he was not afraid to take out his own sword and chop off, or try to chop off, a man's head. Yes, that man ducked, being a Roman soldier. He knew how to dodge, okay? And instead of getting his head, he cut off his ear. We know him as Malchus. But Peter so courageously in that moment went for the man's head. But now as we look here in Luke chapter 22, in these verses 54 through 62, we don't see that same kind of fellow. At least I don't. I don't see this courageous man who was once standing and ready to take home 600 Roman soldiers with one sword. I don't see him doing that here. No, here's what I see in the brave Peter. As he's sitting around this fire, these complete strangers who are not Roman soldiers that he was ready to take on. But here's what I see in this Peter in this moment. I see a man full of fear to speak up and to speak out for Jesus Christ. You see, Peter in this moment is now a man who was not afraid to speak up at one time and speak his mind, now being silent and even denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this little word, fear. Peter, he was witnessing and was about to witness somewhat Jesus was going to endure. He already witnessed the arrest. He already witnessed the soldiers, their cruelty. He knew how brutal they could be, these Roman soldiers. He no doubt had seen crucifixions before. He no doubt had seen floggings and scourgings before. He knew this, and maybe that's why he was afraid to speak up. He didn't want to identify with Jesus because maybe he would endure the same type of treatment that Jesus was about to endure. So instead of being outspoken at this moment for the Lord, he was silent. Why? For fear. You know, the Lord gives us opportunities to be a witness. He does. And with these opportunities, he has promised to give us the power that we really need to help in those times to seize upon those opportunities. Listen, he promised that he would even work with us when we have these gospel opportunities to give out the word of God. He said he'd be with us. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says this, "And they went forth," meaning the disciples, "they went forth and preached everywhere." Here's the lovely part about that verse. The Lord working with them. And in these many opportunities, listen, in these many opportunities that God gives us, we have the tendency to be silent. We have the tendency to say nothing. Why? Because of fear. And sometimes many people that follow that fear follows with, and that silence is followed up with much defense and justification on our parts of why we didn't speak up and speak out. And maybe you're sitting here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've had that experience before. Look, I know I have. I know I have. I'm sure most of us have. We recall a time that we were silent and we should have spoke up and been a witness. And I know we're not proud of this, but understand, if we are silent, especially when there's a clear opportunity to be a witness, then we are being like Peter in this moment, whether we realize it or not, and denying the Lord with our silence. You may not say, no, I don't know him. You're not saying that, but you're also saying that with silence. So, we do that. Why? Because of fear. So this evening, I would like to look at a few reasons why folks are fearful to share their faith and try to give some answers to these reasons, all right? There was a study that was done that was revealed by some believers by some Christians who do not witness the loss, and here's what the main issues were, why they were fearful in doing so, all right? The first fear that they gave of why they were fearful of sharing their faith is this. Number one, they feared of sharing their faith because the fear of being rejected. Now, let me ask you a question. Who here this evening, you do not like to be rejected? I don't either. All right. And who here, be honest, you are a people pleaser? Man, I am too. All right, it is. It's a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time. It is, you know, really. But if you're a people pleaser, you don't want to be rejected whatsoever. And you would say, man, I have a fear of rejection. Listen, you're not alone in that. This is the number one reason that people share their fear. Why they don't share their faith? Because they don't want to be rejected. Now, some of this of fear being rejection may be a little bit on our fault, okay? Meaning the fault of preachers and teachers, okay? It could be, and you may be saying, well, what do you mean by that? How is it going to be your fault? Well, you see, I've heard this many times. People say something like this. Preachers say something like this when it comes to being a witness. And maybe I've said it myself. When speaking of witnessing for Jesus, we'll say phrases like this. We need to get people saved. Anybody ever heard that? All right. We need to get people saved. Okay, yes, absolutely. Or maybe hear the phrase of, we need to bring people to Christ. Yeah, absolutely. I like it. But when you actually look and think of those phrases, you see these phrases are action words, action steps. And I'm all about taking action when it comes to witnessing, but these phrases can put a lot of unnecessary pressure on believers because when you say, hey, look, we've got to get people saved, that can give an individual the sense it's up to them to transform somebody from the power of darkness under the power of light, okay? You don't have that power, all right? You can't save nobody. You can't do that. But sometimes we hear these verses, or hear these phrases, rather, and we think it's up to us to get someone saved. Listen, only God can save someone. We have never saved anyone. Listen, God never asked believers to cause the salvation of a person's soul. Listen, sharing our faith does not mean that we're going to bring someone to Christ, because that's what God does. God is the one that saves someone. So since it's not us that saves anyone, when we give out the gospel, please understand this. They don't reject you. They reject Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about us. It's not our message. It's the message of Christ. Therefore, it's that message of Christ that they're rejecting. What is that message? The gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for them. But if that's rejected, look, it's not because they're rejecting you. But rather, they're rejecting the Lord, and they're rejecting His Word. So since it's not about us and it's about Christ, if they reject you, it's not you they reject, it's actually Jesus and His Word. Understand something. If you witness to someone tomorrow, and let's say they get saved, okay? And they go on to be the next well-known leading evangelist in church history. I mean, they're the next D.L. Moody, right? They take one continent one hand, another continent another, and they just shake it, right? Right? So what if they become the next leading evangelist, and it was you that shared the gospel and they got saved? Let me ask you this question. Can you take credit for them becoming that next great evangelist? Absolutely not. So, let's say you go out here tomorrow and you give your testimony, you give the gospel, and someone doesn't get saved, they reject it. Can you take credit for that rejection? No. So understand something. Though we don't like to be rejected, when it comes to giving the gospel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot take credit for the victories, nor can we take credit for the rejection. I know it's a big fear. Many of us have. Understand, they're rejecting the Lord, not rejecting you. Another fear that people have when it comes to witnessing is this. Number two, the fear of not knowing enough. The fear of not knowing enough. Now, this is another reason why many believers are silent when it comes to sharing their faith, sharing the gospel. And surprisingly, as I read this and studied this a little bit, surprisingly, this fear of not knowing enough is really expressed by those who have been saved for some time, all right? We would say these are seasoned saints, okay? They would say, look, you know, I just don't know enough really to be able to share my faith. There was a research project done several years back that revealed that most people who personally led a lost person to the Lord, they gave the gospel, gave a testimony or something, and they gave the gospel. And that person that they gave the gospel to came to Christ. Listen, it is said that when they did that, for the most people who did that personally, it was in the first year or two after they themselves have been saved. Because after the new believer, after a person comes to Christ, everything becomes new. New faith, new everything, including a newfound zeal in telling others what Jesus has done for them. And so they can't wait to tell somebody what Jesus has done. Can't wait to share their testimony. Can't wait to share, look, Jesus changed my life, man. Here's what I used to be. Here's what I used to do. But Jesus saved me, and I don't do those things anymore. I have a newfound peace, a newfound joy, newfound reason for living. And they share the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved them. A lot of that happens in the first year, 2 years, after someone comes to Christ. It's exciting, really, to see new believers, their zeal for the Lord, their zeal for the gospel. I'm thankful for that. I am. I love it. I love being around new believers. But sometimes, listen, sometimes for those that have been saved for a number of years, begin to let that zeal for souls, zeal for gospel, zeal for witnessing begin to wane. Now, it may be true that the longer a person is a believer, the more they realize just how little they know about the faith, about the Word of God, kind of the more I know, the more I realize I don't know kind of thing. I get that. But believers can become so conscious of the many things that they need to learn that they forget how simple it is to really be born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, but I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Understand something this evening. You don't need an abundance of knowledge. You don't need a theological doctrines degree. All right? You don't need that to be able to point someone to Christ and be able to give someone the gospel. You don't necessarily need that. You don't even need me preaching on you need to be a witness. You don't need that. You already know that. You have all the knowledge you need as a believer because you know what God has brought you from. You know He has saved you, and you know He can save anyone else. You knew you were lost on your way to hell. You knew Jesus was the Savior and only way to heaven. You knew this, and it was by grace through faith that you would call upon Him. He was the Savior. You know that's all you need to share your faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Look, these simple verses will help you. Sharing your faith in the Lord. And listen, all the Lord wants from us when it comes to being a witness is to share the simple truth of the gospel. And even sharing our sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we share that even if our voices tremble, even if our hands begin to shake, even if we stumble over the words, even if we stumble over some of the verses a little bit that we try to read, even if our timing is poor and we struggle to make it clear, God can still use that. He can. He can still use that. But listen, He cannot use this. He cannot use our silence. Peter was silent and denied Him because of fear. God couldn't use that. Neither can He use our silence this evening either. So understand, I know there's some fear. There's a fear of being rejected. There's a fear of, I just don't know enough. Well, you do, actually. If you know Christ as Savior, you know enough, all right? You do. And then there's this fear. The fear of offending. This is the other side of being rejected. We don't want to offend nobody. Especially offending friends and family. That was the third one on the list of fears when it comes to witnessing. When it comes to those that are closest to us, we often say we will do anything for them, right? Anybody like that? You say, hey, look, I'll do anything I could for my wife and kids. Anybody like that? All right, a couple of husbands, raise your hands. That's great. Okay, good job. All right, or you have some other good close friends, you know, and say, look, I'll do anything for you. I'll give you some money. Wait, let me back up. Maybe not that, but I'll give you the shirt off my back, okay, with that phrase. Or, hey, look, you need me to help you move? I'll help you move 2.5 times on that third time. Forget it. You're on your own. Whatever, but I will help you. We want to help those that are closest to us. We want to help our friends. We want to help our families. But when it comes to the decision of eternal matters, when it comes to heaven, when it comes to hell, when it comes to salvation is found in Jesus and Him alone, why is it we freeze up when we need to speak up to our friends and our family? I mean, we don't hesitate. Look, you need a dollar? Bam. I'm all yours, man. Need $2? Ask my wife. You know, whatever. She has all the money anyway. No, but we'll help them. We're there for them. We'll take their phone calls. We'll bend over backwards if we need to, but, oh man, we freeze up when it comes to sharing our faith. And think to ourselves, they don't want to hear it anyway. And think to ourselves, well, you know, I think, you know, I know I need to share my faith. I know I need to share the God. I know I need to tell them about Jesus, but you know, I think I'll just pray for them. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for them. You should, okay? Please do. That's where it needs to start. We need to pray for them. We've talked about that. Having our soul, having our witnessing prayer list, soul winners prayer list kind of thing, we talked about that, all right? And I hope you have that. And I hope you keep adding names to that and praying for people. We need to pray for people. But we also need to speak to them. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Now, that's not talking about me, okay? That word is to preacher meaning those who proclaim the gospel. And you can proclaim the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. Look, let me ask you a question. If a car was speeding and you were on the sidewalk and you saw a car speeding and it jumped the sidewalk, it's about to wreck into your family or your friend that was walking towards you. That car is about to smack right into them. What would you do? What would you do? Would you holler at him and say, ah, Bubba, look out! Or would you stand there in silence because you're afraid your scream might offend them? Now, you may be sitting here and you're saying, well, let me think about this. Which family member are we talking about? Which friend are you talking about? Is it second cousin removed from? No. Which one are you talking about? And then I'll make a decision. No, no, no. Look. If you saw that somebody was in danger and they were about to die, and all it took was a warning from you, would you not yell at them to look out, get out of the way? Surely you would. Then why would we not do that? Again, when it comes to things that really matter, eternity is a long time, folks. Heaven's real. Hell is real. And real people go there every single day. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you have family and friends that you know need to be saved? They need to accept Christ as their Savior. Yes? Anybody? You have family and friends? Just shake your head. All right. We all do. We all do. But have you told them? Have you told them of Jesus Christ? Have you told them that of your testimony, how you came to know Christ as Savior? Have you told them? There was a researcher that noticed his findings over a period of 5 years in 43 different states. And he did a survey during this research time. He did a survey of how folks came to Christ. And he made this statement. He said this, "Family and friends are still the main link for bringing others or for introducing others to Jesus Christ." And in the answer to the question, what person was it that led you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that led you to faith in Christ? With that question, the total findings are as follows. He said this, "Staff member of a church, it was 17.3%. A lay teacher or Sunday school teacher, 8.3% said it was them." All right? Staff member church, meaning like a pastor, assistant, youth pastor, that kind of thing. All right? A neighbor was the one who introduced them to Christ, 2.9%, so 3%. A person that they work with, a work colleague, nearly 2%. A friend was the one that introduced them to Christ, 15.7%. But a family member, here it is. It was a family member that led them to Christ, that introduced them to Christ. It was 43.2%. So the majority of the people that come to know Jesus as their Savior, it was because of an introduction to the Lord by a family member or a friend. He goes on to say this, "Obviously, reaching out to one's own family is the chief relationship that leads to others coming to Christ. It is 2.5 times more impactful." Family members. It's 2.5 times more impactful than pastoral staff members and 3 times that of friends. Even in a day and time when the idea of family is undergoing significant change, family relationships remain the number one bridge that people traverse on their journey to faith in Christ. So understand something, our witness to our family is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. Let's not let fear stop us from reaching the very ones we love the most. Don't let fear stop you. I know it can be a little challenging, it can be nerve-wracking, but even with your voice cracking and shaking, tell those you love the most how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. All right, what's the last one? The last one on the list of why people do not share their faith is this, number 4. The fear of being ridiculed or persecuted. Now, when it comes to this, comes to persecution, as Americans, we rarely experience the persecution that occurs in many other countries around the world. Now, just several months ago, it was there in Afghanistan where believers were literally being hunted down like dogs because they had a Bible app on their phone over there, and people were being persecuted horribly. Why? Because their faith in Jesus Christ. But here in America, we don't face that kind of persecution. We don't face that kind of fear of being persecuted. But rather, the things we face around here are very minor compared to that. Ridicule, being mocked, being made fun of. Yes, those are things we would face, sure. Absolutely. But that shouldn't be something that stops. Should be something that stops us from sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kind of goes back to our first point. Listen, when somebody wants to mock you about sharing your faith, about sharing the gospel, about sharing Christ, it's really you and they're not mocking. But rather, it's the Lord. I heard a testimony of a man. He was in the book, actually, he wrote about sharing your faith. And he was a man who was part of the mob, all right? He was a man who had several houses of ill repute, I'll put it nicely. But he was a man that had several encounters with Christians. And these believers would share the gospel with him. These believers would share their faith, would share their testimony with him. And each time he would mock them. Each time he would ridicule them. Say, "Oh, man, that's child stuff. That's for you, it ain't for me. Do you know who I am? That ain't for me. I'm fine." He'd mock them. But he said this in his book. He said, though I would leave mocking them out loud, inwardly, I was craving what they had. Inwardly, he said, I remembered after I leave those conversations, after I leave, there was one particular incident when he left the friend's house who had him over for dinner. He said, I remember what they were wearing. I remember what I ate. I remember how nice they were, even though I was an absolute wretch to them. He said, I never forgot how kind they were to me. So those that may be mocking you and ridiculing you for your sharing your faith, understand something. You're still having an impact deeper than you realize. They're not going to forget. Not soon forget what God is doing through you for them. So I get it. I get it. Sometimes when it comes to sharing our faith, it can be fearful. And maybe you have some other reasons of fear or other causes of fear than these four that we looked at this evening. But we must resist the temptation to give in to these fears and remain silent. We have to resist that. We can't remain silent. God cannot use the silence. He must use our voice when it comes to giving the gospel. How can He hear without a preacher? God cannot use our silence. We must not remain silent when it comes to the gospel. One last question, and we'll be done. Let me ask you this evening. What makes a witness? What makes someone who is a witness? What makes a witness successful? Anyone give me a shot? Okay. Walking the walk. All right. What makes a witness successful? Being willing? Absolutely. Some people would say this. Some would say, well, if I'm going to be successful as a witness, then I've got to lead someone to Jesus. Then I've got to lead someone in a prayer. That's what's going to make me successful. What if I told you by leading someone to Christ, well, that's just dessert. That's just a blessing. That's not the definition of success by being a witness. You see, success is found here. It is found in living daily the Christian life. It is found living daily or sharing daily the gospel message so others can hear it. It is trusting God each time you give the gospel for the results. We can't conjure up no result, all right? That's up to God. Listen, remember, it's God that saves people, not us. We are simply His messengers, His mouthpiece, if you will, giving the gospel out, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ all for them. So success is found here, giving the gospel and letting God, and trusting God with the results. And the biggest step, listen, the biggest step to this success, and the biggest step to overcoming the fears that we have when it comes to being a witness is a heart decision that has to be made, and really needs to be made every single day, and it is this heart decision. We must choose to obey God in this matter. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make that heart decision. Sanctify Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks your reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So listen, make that choice, make that deliberate choice to obey when it comes to being a witness for Jesus Christ. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go about your day tomorrow, just be a witness for Jesus Christ. Be a witness. Give a gospel tract. Tell someone how you got saved. Just let them hear it from your lips. Let them see it from your life. Be a witness, and don't let fear keep you silent.